Good morning. Good morning, awakening together. Yes, I was reminded of one of my favorite Robin Williams movies. Good morning, Vietnam. Yes. Isn't it wonderful how Lynn's able in literally 3 minutes to give you the entire course? That's really true. You can actually see the entire course in 3 minutes. Actually, you know, it's wherever you are right now. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. Wow. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. Actually, it is all so perfect. I saw that Susie here wrote, "Can't get salvation wrong." And that is pretty much what our topic is this morning. There are no accidents in God's plan for salvation. You can't get it wrong. There's no accidents. Okay. Right now, we're going to do what we do, as Lynn says. We're all filing in as if we were filing into a building, an ashram, a church, a temple. This is our temple. It's our ashram, it's our church right here this morning, and we're going to turn and share with all, it's one of the things you can't do in a building, you can share with all exactly the peace, the love, the light, the laughter, the joy, right here, right now, with all, by just sharing, as I turn this mic back to you, Lynn, to play some music that's going to give us some wellness, some healing. This mic is all yours, Lynn. Thank you all for sharing your joy, your laughter, your love, your light right here, right now. Thank you all.
Waking up to see that everything is okay. The first time in my life and now it's so great. Slowing down, I look around and I'm so amazed. I think about the little things that make life great. I wouldn't change a thing about it. This is the best feeling. This innocence is brilliant. I hope that by. I found a place so safe, not a single tear. The first time in my life and now it's so clear. Feel calm, I belong, I'm so happy here. It's so strong and now I let myself be sincere. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
I hope that it will.
All right. Thank you so much for that music, Lynn Johnson. Yes, I was thinking as Lynn could actually sum up the entire course in 3 minutes. Actually, I think the idea of the course is, can you sum up this whole course in 2 minutes, 1 minute? How about in one word? How about in one word? Actually, Jesus does say he can sum up the whole course in these few lines, which you find in the introduction. That which is real cannot be threatened, and that which is unreal doesn't exist. Herein lies the peace of God. So, those are a few lines. And as far as you said here earlier, Lynn, forget this world. And Jesus actually sums up this entire world in one word. I think there's only two one-word sentences in the entire course. And one of them you find in page 126. It's a one-word sentence. Jesus says, do you want me to tell you what the ego is? You want me to describe the ego? And then the next sentence is a one-word sentence. Nothing. Nothing. It's a one-word sentence. So it isn't that we are within the world. The world is actually within the mind of God, and it really is nothing. And when you remove all the blockages to your awareness of love's presence, you do have perfect vision. We're going to be hearing more about that. Actually, a reading from John Mundy's new book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness. I did ask Barb DeWater, who is our admin this morning, to thank you so much, Barb. One of our this year's retreats coming up in Santa Barbara, most of you do know about it, this September 12th through the 14th. And that looks like really a fun place, a fun way to get together, to join. We are always joined here every Sunday. And I know that those who actually join together in mind, spirit, and body usually are always dancing. As I saw Regina said, she was dancing to this song. And it is really just a lot of fun. It's like something that you give yourself, something that you give yourself as a gift. You give it as a way to remember the truth of what you are. It's a joyous occasion. It says in the Course in Miracles, how joyous it is to know that we share the one purpose, which is God's plan for salvation. Salvation is to remember the truth, and only the truth can cure. Only the truth can cure. One of the lines I was listening to, Kathy reading from Michael Singer on death, and there's a wonderful line in the Course that literally says, this world is not left by death, but by truth. So, you want to give yourself a wonderful weekend. Actually, there's a week after that, retreat that follows the weekend, September 12th through the 14th. Yes, Barb DeWater is reminding us that August 19th, and I think today is the 17th, so we have two more days to register. 3 days. Okay. So there's 3 days to register. No, actually, today is the 17th, isn't it? Yeah. So today is the 17th, so the 19th must be Tuesday. So you do have until Tuesday to register if you'd like to be in that. And we do need that extra time between now and September 12th to make whatever reservations and to prepare to tell the Santa Barbara Mission who's going to be there, how many people they're going to have meals for. So please register by this Tuesday, August 19th, if you would like to be there. The other thing I'd like to share as an announcement is my own. First, I want to thank Awakening Together and the Board of Trustees and Regina, who said that I could actually be holding my own class. It's not part of the ministerial program, but it's called the Core Message of A Course in Miracles, and it kind of goes along with what we were sharing here earlier. And, you know, I really feel that I am kind of really uniquely qualified to lead this particular course. And the purpose is to radically reduce your learning curve, study time of the Course in Miracles. I saw Regina put up a mention on tonight's guest that she didn't get clear by studying the course. She got clear by practicing the course, by living it, by being it. And I am uniquely qualified to teach this because I literally spent 27 years studying the course, actually trying to see what I could learn, what I could get from this course that somehow I kept missing. I kept missing whatever it was that Jesus was talking about. He says, all you have to do is accept the atonement for yourself. And I said, well, you know, I know that, Jesus, but, you know, how do I accept the atonement? Maybe I'm missing something. I just kept looking and looking and looking. And, you know, as any really clear course teacher will tell you, I was listening to Jacob Glass yesterday. Lynn Johnson was playing some Jacob Glass. He says, you know, I don't want you to leave here after I share with you. I don't want you to leave and take something away with you to add to what you already know. I want you to let it all go. I want you to take a lot less away with you than when you came in. So, you know, Jesus is telling you the same thing in A Course in Miracles. He says, this course is not about finding love, for that is beyond the scope of this course, but it is about removing, that's taking away the blockages, the defenses, the excuses, the stories that actually block the presence, our awareness of love's presence. The love is always here. Only the truth is true and nothing else is true. It's always here. We just have to clear away the dust. We'll be talking a little bit more about that, you know. Yes, that's what purification is. And it says miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. We've got to remove the dust from our eyes. Yes. So I do have a course that starts September 8th on a second Monday of September. It only goes for two sessions. I wouldn't want to have more than two sessions if I'm going to talk about radically reducing your study time of a course. The first we'll be talking about what Jesus is saying in the course, and of course all are invited to share in that. We will be listening and part of the homework, and we will be sending out the audio that Ken Wapnick did on the introduction to the clarification of terms, which is when I first heard Jesus speak to me and actually say, hey, Dove, what do you keep looking in the book for? You think you're going to find yourself in a book? The book is concepts, symbols, words. God doesn't create concepts, symbols, and words. You know, put the book down already. Now, again, a lot of people say, well, no, I don't want to put the book down. Of course, I've never put the book down. But he's really saying you're not going to find yourself in a book. And most of us know that looking outside of ourselves is pretty much a way to delay. When you look within, you will see the light and the love of the Christ we all are. So if you'd like to sign up for that, just go to awakening-together.org, or our website. Look up in the menu bar and you'll see classes, and it should be there. Please register. It is $55 for the two sessions. Love to see you there. Right here, right now, I'm going to be turning this mic over to my wife, Suzanne, who's going to be reading from John Mundy's newest book. He happened to mention it the other day when he was being interviewed by Lisa Natoli and Bill Free. It's his newest book. I know a lot of people think that Living A Course in Miracles is his newest book, but in fact, that's one of the books that, as part of the text materials for A Course in Miracles within the ministerial program. But his newest book, which he actually issued in an iTrue review, is called Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness. And if you look at Lesson 101 in A Course in Miracles, which is probably where he got the idea, it says, God's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. And I found this book to be an amazing book, and I have mentioned it here earlier a few times. And as it turned out, when this topic was given to me, which is basically on purification and cleaning off the gravity and the dust and the mud and the schmutz, is a word I seem to like to use a lot. The idea of looking in the index of John's book under purification, and this is what came up. Suzanne's going to be reading from chapter 6, Perfect Vision. I love that title, Perfect Vision. Okay. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone. I really feel privileged to be reading from his book. It really is beautiful, and it really is the course. Now, as David said, since he says a lot, I'm reading Perfect Vision, which is chapter 6. Okay, I'm reading from that chapter. When we choose the ego's distorted perception, the ego's shadow is cast across everything. However, the day is coming, and now is, when we will experience perfect vision, and therefore perfect happiness. Perfect vision enables perfect oneness. The first step is a matter of willingness. And now, quoting from the Course, heaven is the home of perfect purity, and God created it for you. Perception did not exist until the separation introduced degrees, aspects, and intervals. Spirit has no levels, and all conflicts arise from the concept of levels. Only the levels of the Trinity are capable of unity. The levels created by the separation cannot but conflict. This is because they are meaningless not to each other. And what I just read is from Chapter 3, Section 4 of the textbook. I'll go on reading. Though born a king, the hero frequently stumbles, falling prey to his own ego. We are all created in perfect purity. Nothing can shake God's conviction of the perfect purity of everything that he created. God knows that we, his children, are asleep, and he has a plan for our awakening. Jesus remembered the Christ by not seeing differences in form, recognizing the truth. He could say, I and the Father are one. There is no difference between us except in time, and insofar as there is no time, there are no differences. The ego sees a fearful, disturbing world, a place of darkness filled with sin. Lesson 12 from the Course says, I am upset because I see a meaningless world. The lesson goes on to say, I think I see a fearful world, a dangerous world, a hostile world, a sad world, a wicked world, a crazy world. The ego looks upon a dark world, and in darkness we are deceived. Do not seek vision through your eyes, for you made your way of seeing that you might see in darkness, and in this you are deceived. This is also from the text, chapter 13, section 5. Seeing through the ego's eyes, we are deceived. The ego sees sin, sickness, sadness, and separation. The vision of Christ looks on all things in light and sees only oneness. The ego mind does not, indeed cannot, see oneness. The ego sees only separation, difference, and division. Identifying with the ego, we do not see wholeness. What is seen instead are discord, difference, and division. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. thank you so much, Suzanne, for the reading, and John Mundy for putting together such a wonderful book, Lesson 101, Perfect Happiness. And she was just reading from Perfect Vision. Perfect Vision. I guess you can see that John does use the word perfect a lot in the course. The course is about that we are the perfect, holy Son of God. And at this particular moment, I'm going to actually ask for a moment of silence, so that whenever two or more are gathered in His name, He is always there sharing with us the perfect message for all to actually hear. I have nothing to do with it, truly. I am so grateful that the message is given to me, first for me, and then to be shared with all. So let's take a minute of silence and stillness to be one with Him. It's during these moments of stillness that I recognize that I am certainly not the doer, that everything is actually given to me. That has always been my, I shouldn't say it has always been my experience, it has been my experience in recent years that everything kind of comes together perfectly. I know we use that word synchronicity a lot. I think that was Carl Jung that actually came up with that word. I'm not really sure. But I do have one of Carl Jung's quotes here. And it was Carl Jung who said almost 100 years ago, I guess, synchronicity is an ever-present reality for those who have eyes to see. Let me see if I can put that up on the board so it can be seen by all. It doesn't seem to want to go, but it's synchronicity is an ever-present reality for those who have eyes to see. And, you know, the Course is really all about seeing. It's really not about knowing anything. It's all about seeing. And that's why when I looked under purification in the index of John's book, only two places came up. One really spoke about the different levels of trust, the different steps of trust. There's six steps, starting with the sorting out process. And, of course, trust would solve all problems now. Total trust is our integrity. We are, of course, the trustworthy, perfect child of God. Of course, when we find ourselves in a place that we do not know what anything is for, and we're listening to a voice that already knows what everything is for, and has given meaning to that which is good and that which is bad, that which is right and that which is wrong, we very quickly learn to distrust. And of course, distrust is just another word for fear. When you distrust, as it says in the Course, the ego roams in a range at best from suspicious, when it wants to just, you know, keep you listening to the voice of I know what everything is for, too vicious when it feels it has to punish because maybe you haven't listened to the voice that knows what everything is for. Of course, you know the ego because it speaks first and loudest. Certainly doesn't speak in a still, soft voice, a gentle, loving voice. It has that knee-jerk reaction feeling when you are reacting, effect of the world you see. And of course, you know, there really is nothing outside of us. You know, we do make it all up. And that's pretty much why, of the 50 miracle principles, only number seven is the only one that we are responsible for. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. That is one of the two, that's the subtitle for today's talk. Some of you may have seen the talk basically is there are no accidents in God's plan for salvation. So, whenever we think that something has gone wrong, we know that from our ideas of right and wrong and good and bad, basically we're listening to the voice that does see that there are accidents and mistakes and sins. Well, the word the ego uses certainly is not mistake. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened. Something else should have happened. And of course, that is the voice of doubt, suspiciousness, distrust, the voice that has no idea of who the Son of God is, has no idea of anything that has to do with love, but is always the voice of fear. And the voice that somebody must pay, that somebody has to be found at fault, somebody has to be blamed, shamed, and somebody has to pay for their guilt. And that's pretty much sums up the way we see the world. As soon as something happens, we ask, how did that happen? You know, and of course, the underlying idea of how did that happen is, who's at fault? It was Dr. Jerry Jampolsky who basically said, we are either love finders or we are fault finders. And if we're listening to the voice of fear, the voice of suspiciousness, then we're listening to the fault finder who says, well, someone has to pay for this, and it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me because basically I'm right and somebody else is wrong. No accident that Jesus says three times in the course, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy, joyous? Choose one. You can't have both. It's the same thing as when he says, do you want to be host to God, host to love, or do you want to be a slave to the ego? You want to be hostage to this judgmental thought system that knows the difference between right and wrong and good and bad. Of course, we're not here to lay any blame on anyone's doorstep, because certainly to lay blame just keeps the story going. Their ego is nothing. So what is the idea of purification? Purification is the one idea that Jesus says you are responsible for. You have to clean off and dust off those dusty eyelids, the thoughts in your mind that keep you, prevent you from seeing with perfect vision, with your spiritual eye, with the eyes of love, your Christ eyes, your Christ vision. And as he says, and as long as you're seeing differences, then you are not seeing with Christ's eyes. If you were listening to Suzanne's sharing from John Mundy's book, he says, Jesus was a man who saw all of his brothers as the Christ. That means that he saw them as the same as the eyes that he looked through. To see differences is really judgment. It's really sacrifice. Very early in this course, it did come to me, and I'm really happy that it came to me so early, that in that chapter 15, I think it's section 11, it's in paragraph number 10. Make this year different by making it all the same. Make this year different by making it all the same. Whether it's this year, it came at that time of the year when Helen took it down. It was Christmas time, so that particular chapter section, chapter 15, section 11, is Christmas as the end of sacrifice. Christmas as the end of sacrifice. And I kind of shortened it, Christ as the end of sacrifice. And how do you end sacrifice? And it's really simple. It's not, you know, nothing complex about salvation. It's your willingness to see things as having the same interest, the same purpose. It says the goal of this goal of this course is not knowledge. The goal of this course is peace. And it's been pointed out many times. I think that John Mundy mentions it a few times in a lot of his talks. He says in one place, he says, the goal of this course is peace. And another place, he says, the goal of this course is happiness. Some people see that as a conflict or a controversial idea. And John just simply says, I guess when you're peaceful, you're happy. And I guess when you're happy, you're peaceful. You're certainly not in conflict. You're certainly not seeing something that is not there. And that's where all our upsets are, as you know. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Lesson number 5. Yes, I am upset because I see something that is not there. Lesson number 6. You can see how really simple the course is. But exactly as it's been said, to study these things is one thing, but to practice it in your daily life, to actually practice it in this holy instant, in this moment, to see sameness. Sameness is another word for oneness. If you're seeing differences, it's not oneness anymore. It's two-ness. It's two-ness. I got that word, two-ness, from Ken Wapnick. My original book was called Into Oneness. Of course, Ken, in his wonderful humor, said, "Oh, you mean in Tunis? In Tunis?" I said, "No, it's into oneness." "Oh, in Tunis?" I said, "No, it's into oneness." Yeah, you know it's in Tunis when you see differences, and it's oneness when you see sameness. If you're seeing anything other than sameness, well, you have to go to the Holy Spirit and says, you know, what is this that I'm seeing? Because obviously I'm not seeing at all. I am not seeing at all. Because perfect vision is really seeing that all things are loving. When all you want to see is love, love is all you will see. That's the synchronicity that Carl Jung is speaking about. You see that everything is happening perfectly. The ego doesn't think so at all. Jesus has a wonderful line in chapter 4, section 5, in the very first sentence. All things happen for the good. This is always true, except in the judgment of the ego. The ego is very quick to point out, well, you know, look at that. You know, tell me that that's for the good, really? Well, if you're listening to that voice, you know, you will probably, you know, allow that, look at that, take you, bend your mind in that direction and try and figure out why that is happening. I didn't start this morning off telling you the story I was going to tell you when I first started. I think that most of you, especially Regina, would get a kick out of this. Most of you know that I say that the week before the Sunday that I'm on, I usually start getting some messages about what the topic is going to be. And I want you to know I must have miscounted when we had Barb DeWater on last week, and I think that Phil wasn't here 2 weeks ago or whatever. And I was so certain that I wasn't supposed to be on until next week, until Thursday night. I looked at my email, and there was an email from Regina said, our Sunday morning schedule for the next month or so. And I looked at it, and there was my name for this Sunday. I was all ready to get on the phone to say, Regina, you made a mistake. I said, wait a minute, before I get on the phone and tell Regina that she made a mistake, let me look at the last time she sent an email advising Phil and I of the schedule for Sunday mornings, and that was about 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago. I looked it up, and there it said, August 17th, David Fishman. I said, oh, my God. I had just got off the phone the day before with Ms. Scher, who usually is my reader every other time I'm here, and said, we're not on until a week from Sunday, which is next Sunday, which would be the 24th. I said, okay, I'll be ready by then. So I realized I had to call Scher back. So you're ready by this Sunday? He said, no, actually, she is moving. So her place is, you know, she's in a flux, and she says, I like to pass. And I said, okay. And that's why I thank Suzanne for her reading today. I had no idea what the topic was going to be. But just yesterday, a guy walked into the room. His name was Christ Avatar. He spelled it K-R-Y-S-T. He may be in the room right now. I don't see him right now. His name was Adam. And he got on the microphone. If you heard him speaking, you'd say, my God, he must have been doing the course for 100 years. I don't think he was doing the course at all, but this is what he said. He said, well, he's kind of new here at Pal Talk, and he just happened to be, kind of like going through what some of the rooms are, and he saw Awakening Together Sanctuary. He says, hey, that sounded interesting. And he said, my God, this is the perfect room for me. And I wrote, there are no accidents in God's plan for salvation. Yeah, everything that happens perfectly. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, when to have perfect vision is to know that there is an omni-intelligence that sees the whole picture, where everybody's always with the perfect person and the perfect event and the perfect happening for the lesson that we have all come here to first learn for ourselves and then to share with all. There's never an accident. There are no accidents in God's plan for salvation. That's a line right out of the course. I said, oh, that's going to be my topic. So I found my topic I think it was yesterday or Friday. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, I guess it was Friday. And then, of course, on Friday morning, I just happened to listen to a recording of Adi Ashanti, and I picked up something that I never really heard before. I thanked Adi Ashanti, and then Suzanne DeKaiser, who's my sharing partner, and I kind of shared on that on Friday morning. And he says, you know, your thoughts have gravity. I never really heard of gravity in that particular way. Your thoughts have gravity. You know, we all know what gravity is. You drop a brick from a tall building, it's going to only go straight down. It's going to go in one direction. Everyone knows that direction because we live under the laws of gravity until you escape that gravity belt, the gravity belt, which basically keeps us somewhat grounded here in this world. And I said, wow, thoughts have gravity. And I kind of like my background where I was more a person looking at how science and spiritual really are confirming each other. And, you know, I've always loved Einstein and the way that he even came upon those things that people still don't understand. There was a cute quote on Facebook the other day. Charlie Chaplin sent a letter to Albert Einstein. He says, it is a funny, funny world. People love me because they understand me, and people love you because they don't understand you. Even the best physicists of the time, when they heard what Einstein was saying in his theory of relativity, I understand this guy logically up until a certain point, but I can't see how he comes to that conclusion. And then Einstein very lovingly said to them, I didn't come to the conclusion by the use of my logical and rational mind. You know, actually he asked the question over and over for 10 years, what would it look like if I was traveling at the speed of light? What would all of this look like? And he asked that same question over and over. And, you know, when you ask a question, the answer is going to be given to you. And that the answer that came to him didn't come because he figured it out. No, it was just given to him. That's pretty much what Jesus is saying. Just ask, and it shall be given to you. Yeah, theory of relativity. I took a good look at, you know, why Adi Shanti would even look at the idea that thoughts have gravity, and I recognize that there are your light thoughts that don't weigh you down, and then there are those thoughts that kind of bend you out of shape, you know, the ones that you ego loves to delay and dwell on, you know, trying to figure it out, trying to find blame, shame, and guilt, trying to find, how did this happen? You know, let me figure out how this happened. I'll be the good cop detective, and I'll look at all the clues. Some of you are already laughing. It actually came to my attention. Let's see if I can find it. I tell you, everything really is given to me. Some of you may have seen on Facebook the picture of a glass of water. And the story, which was sent to me, or somehow, it was actually posted by, a new friend of mine, Denise Klein, just came into my life yesterday. She became a member of Open Minds. And this is what the story says. A psychologist walked around the room while teaching stress management to an audience. As she raised a glass of water, everyone expected they'd be asked that, is this glass half empty or half full question? Well, that's not what she asked. That's not what she said. Instead, with a smile on her face, she inquired, how heavy is this glass of water? That was the question she asked her audience. And the answers were called out, ranging anywhere from 8 ounces to 20 ounces. And then she replied, the absolute weight doesn't really matter. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an ache in my arm. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. She continued, the stresses and worries in life are like that glass of water. Think about them for a while, and nothing happens. Think about them a bit longer, and they begin to hurt. And if you think about them all day long, you're going to feel paralyzed, incapable of doing anything. Remember to put the glass down. It was no accident that came in front of me. That was part of things, the way they just flow. Everything happens in synchronicity. And I said, wow, that's like the perfect story. I couldn't come up with a better story than that. Christ avatar Adam walks in the room, the glass of water story, and relativity. Einstein had pretty much the same kind of a story. He says, what is time? You know, time is relative. You know, if a pretty girl is sitting on your lap for a minute, seems like eternity. Actually, I had it the other way around. If you put your hand on a hot stove for a second, it seems like eternity. And if a pretty girl sits on your lap for a few minutes and she gets up, well, it seems like she was never there. So everything really is relative. You want that pretty girl sitting in your lap forever, and you never really want to touch that hot stove. You don't want to burn yourself. So everything in this world is relative. Everything really does have gravity. And the gravity is really nothing more than the dust. You know, the ego is really, you know, as many things as you can call the ego. It came to me this morning. The ego is really a dust collector. You know, it collects dust, collects dirt, schmutz. You know, some of the things that we, that the ego loves to participate in and partake in is gossip, which is called dishing the dirt, dishing the dirt. You know, what's the latest scuttlebutt? Who's doing what to whom? and those things will just wear you out. You know, they'll just wear you out, and it'll skew, it'll bend. The mind gets bent out of shape. There's no accident that Jesus says three times in the Course, this is a very simple course. And finally in chapter 14, after saying it three times, this is a very simple course, he says, well, it's a difficult course for twisted minds. Now, the mind can only be twisted because it wants to believe in something that is not there. And the way it knows that it's there is using the body's eyes and the body's ears to tell the body's brain what it sees and hears, and the brain makes it all up according to its dictates, according to the way it sees what's good and bad and what is right and wrong. You know, some people think that Shakespeare was influenced by some angels and saints, but it was Shakespeare 500 years ago who said there is no good and bad and right and wrong, but thinking about it makes it so. Yeah, thinking about anything in this world will bend your mind out of shape. So when Jesus says there is no world, he's giving you the biggest clue, the biggest pointer on how to purify your mind. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary. If I'm dwelling on the things of this world and why this is happening and why that is happening, I actually do like to intoxicate myself. I actually enjoy poisoning, dimming the light in my mind. And I say, boy, this is a dark, dark world. But where is the darkness when you turn on the light? And we are the light. How do I purify my mind? Certainly you can start to remove the dust, remove the dirt, remove the blockages from your awareness of love's presence. You know, the word joy, as Jesus says, if you're not wholly joyous, if you're not wholly joyous, you must have withheld love from one of God's pure creations. Well, the pure creation that you're withholding it from is certainly not out in the world. We're holding it from ourselves by believing in the gravity, in the grave, dark thoughts. Yes, they bubble up like bubbles in a glass of champagne. But if you believe any of those thoughts, as Byron Katie says, if I believe any of my thoughts, I'm out of my mind. Really, you know, why would I believe any of my thoughts? They're not my real thoughts. So the purification process is really a very easy process if you understand the purpose of purification. The only purpose is to remember the truth of your real thoughts, the light, the love, the kindness, the holiness. You know, when you remove the dust from your eyes, you do receive perfect vision. That's that section that Suzanne was just reading from. Perfect vision is really the vision that Jesus talks about, which I'm going to read from right now. In lesson 158, this is what he says. That's the lesson that's the end of the six lessons that I say are the teacher's lessons. It starts with, the power of decision is my own. I am among the ministers of God. Let me step back and let him lead the way. Today I walk with God in perfect holiness. Into his presence I enter now. And the sixth of the six lessons, lesson 158. Today I learn to give as I receive. So first you have to be willing to accept before you can give. You have to be willing to accept. And the acceptance is not possible until you clear away the dust. This is what he says starting in paragraph number 7. Christ's vision has one law. It does not look upon a body and mistake it for the Son whom God created. It beholds a light beyond the body, an idea beyond what can be touched, a purity undimmed by errors and pitiful mistakes, and fearful thoughts of guilt from dreams of sin. It sees no separation, and it looks on everyone, on every circumstance, all happenings and all events, without the slightest fading of the light it sees. This can be taught and must be taught by all who would achieve it. It requires but the recognition that the world cannot give anything that faintly can compare with this in value, nor set up a goal that does not merely disappear when this has been perceived. And this you give today, see no one as a body, greet him as the Son of God. He is acknowledging that he is one, acknowledging that he is one with you in perfect holiness. And this week I was reminded of that lesson. God is my strength. Vision is his gift. The only gift that we ever need is vision, perfect vision. John Mundy said something in that interview he did a couple days ago. I was right here a couple times. Thank you very much, Lynn. He says, you know, we all got to consider ourselves very lucky. You know, I don't really use the word luck a lot, but that was John's word. We all got to consider ourselves very lucky. You can use the word thankful, grateful. He said, you know, I see that there's no accident here, that we are all students, teachers of A Course in Miracles. He says, it's like we intended to give ourselves this book. I think John got his book probably when it was published, being with Helen Schuckman at the time. I found the book in 1977. Actually, John and I were already friends in 75 when we first met. It's amazing how everything just works so perfectly. He says, you know, we kind of knew that we needed some help, and we made sure that the book would fall into our lap, that somebody would give us the book, put it on our bedside table, or we see it on someone's coffee table, as Marianne Williamson tells her story. But there's no accident. There are no accidents in God's plan for salvation, no. And there's no accident that somehow you were led to this particular room, Christ avatar Adam. There's no accident that you're on the path that you are. Now that you have received, today I learn to give as I have received. There are no accidents in God's plan for salvation. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a wonderful sharing. I thank the Holy Spirit for all that I have been given. And I assure you that it is all given to all of us to share with all. I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Len, reminding everyone that this is an opportunity to share in maybe the form of paper strips and metal discs in the form that helps the organization Awakening Together, which it does so much. I know most of you do know the kind of things that Awakening Together is doing with its benevolence fund, its scholarships, its things it's doing. Even to run the organization does take money. So if you would like to give value, something of value to what gives you value, this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. And I guess Bob put up the link for donating right now. I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn. We'll come back for the last 15 minutes where we're going to ask everyone to share, if they'd like to share anything that they heard, any questions, anything. And, of course, we have an hour of fellowship and social hour ahead of us after that. Lynn, this mic is all yours.
Beyond the beyond the beyond, that's where your loves meet. Beyond the beyond the beyond, dancing at your feet. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, we are one love, one heart. In the light of your love, oh sure.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you all. This is an opportunity in the next 15 minutes to, if you have any questions, you'd like to share anything, maybe something that was said touched you, maybe you have something that came up for you during this last half hour that that basically, or at any time, maybe something that came up for you today, because as I see it, it all comes together always perfectly, and I think everyone here knows that that things do come to you perfectly. Whatever seems to be on your mind is really the perfect thing to share. It really is. And just remember that your sharing is really a gift to us all. What is being shared, even though you might think it's just something just for you, I always say that the Holy Spirit who shares through you knows who is listening and who needs to hear it. So your sharing is a gift to all who are listening. Thank you, everyone who's listening to us on the radio. Thank you for listening. And, of course, we have a whole hour ahead of that, ahead of us for fellowship and social with Lynn Johnson. Right now, does anyone want to oh, I see Robbie McEwen, and I see Lynn Johnson with your hands up. Robbie McEwen, this mic is all yours.
Aloha. Thank you, Deb. That was a great message. The thing that hit me right between the eyes, actually, is there is no right and wrong, as you said. And then Shakespeare said it in his great body of work. There is no right and wrong, and that whole ego rushes to judge. Oh, that's right, that's wrong. There may be ethical and integrity issues as far as what is not particularly right, but what is, what's the word that isn't relating to right and wrong? Something that, there's just something that's whole and complete, that's okay, it's equal, it's joyous, it's love, it is, but it doesn't have to do with the mind. It doesn't have to do with, oh, that's right or that's wrong. Although I often do say, that's just right. It just is, or whatever. It's the right thing to do, but it's coming from wholeness, not to prove anything or to be okay or to look good, or it's not coming from victim of poor little me. So I really like that piece. I'm going to kind of concentrate and contemplate that. Thank you very much. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Robbie. I just wanted to comment on the topic and how beautifully and how clearly it has always been to me that things seem to happen for a reason. And it's just so funny to me. And Dove was mentioning about the guy who came in the room whose name was Christ Avatar. And he put his hand up. And I sometimes when people come in and they put their hand up, a lot of times it's just, you know, not even anyone who knows about what we're doing or what our room is. But it just happened that the teacher who was supposed to be here was late coming in, and so we had open time. And I gave him the mic, and he was very appreciative, very excited about having found us. He's in the UK, you know, just was looking for something like this, and he had wonderful things to say. That was no accident that he happened to be here and we happened to have an opening. That was the perfect timing of the Holy Spirit. And more I see that Christ is in charge of everything, time and space. There are no accidents, and there never have been. As I look back at my life, I see that everything has happened perfectly. What could you not accept, as Duff always says, if you knew that all things, everything is perfectly planned, including what we consider the moment of awakening, is the moment of knowing that I am. It's not something that's being hidden. It's not something I have to wonder and wait for. It is something that is right now and always has been, because right now is when everything is all together in one place. And it is just perfect. perfect, perfect. And I'm so, so grateful. So, Alan, I see you have your hand up. I will let go of the mic. And thank you so much for being a part of Awakening Together.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here and to just check in with you all. I've been listening for at least a month now. I have an iPhone, and it seems to work pretty well. The mic might go off, and then I'll push it again, but hopefully I'll be quicker than that. Dove, I confess I was, or not confess, but I'll just let you know I was meditating and rehearsing some songs to go and sing at our AA rally here on Salt Spring Island, BC, Canada. One of the songs I'll be singing is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, the prayer attributed to St. Francis. So I don't know what else to say other than that I am settling into God, and I make it a little complicated, but I'm really glad to be here with you all. God bless you. I love you. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for sharing that. Actually, it was Saint Francis of Assisi that a lot of people said Shakespeare was actually used to receive letters from that basically or got communication from, whether it was letter or he somehow moved through time and space in a way that he got received the communication. But the idea that let me be an instrument of your peace, Father, is really what this course is really about. Let me be an instrument of your peace. The goal of this course is peace, certainly not knowledge. And if you contemplate on that, that may actually undo all of the things that we think the course is going to give us. I love that story by Bill Tedford. Many of you know the story, but you know, he was part of a group that used to meet over in Mill Valley near Chiburon, where Jerry Jampolsky and some of the early people that received the course used to meet and discuss the course, and one side of the room said, well, I think Jesus is saying this, and the other side of the room said, no, I think Jesus is saying something else. And they couldn't really agree, and they kind of turned to Bill Tedford, who was sitting there very quietly, not saying anything, and someone said, Bill, what do you have to say? What do you have to say, Bill? After all, you were there with Helen. You helped bring it into this world. What do you think Jesus is saying? And Bill really was very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. And after about a minute, he said, you know what I would do? I'd take this page and tear it right out of the book. Now, you know, if you think that the book is sacrosanct, you know, it's holier than thou, and then probably what Bill Tedford was saying doesn't make any sense, but he's really saying the book is really only a pointer so that we can remember that we are one, that we are the same, that there's anything that would lead to differences, seeing things differently, is not even worth discussing. None of this is worth discussing. So peace is the goal of the course, certainly not knowledge. And of course, we all know that the conceptual mind, which is the home of the ego, loves more concepts. And I was thinking as you were all sharing, when Robbie picked up the mic, you know, whenever we basically think that we're missing something, that's the gravity. That's the gravity that bends us out of shape. You know, lack or inadequacy or neediness or helplessness or powerlessness, which is all different words for lack, that I don't have what others seem to have. That's the mantra. of the ego. We all know the Course says the mantra of the ego is seek and do not find. But why is it seeking? Because it thinks it doesn't have, that it's missing something. That's what kept me going 27 years from 1977 through the year 2004, 10 years ago, looking and scouring this course. I must have missed something, something that doesn't seem to connect perfectly. Actually, the course is written perfectly, but it's really telling you that the goal of this course is not knowledge. The goal of this course is peace. Until I actually accept that that is the goal of the course, and once I do, the peace comes instantly. The goal of this course is peace, not knowledge, really? What have I been doing all these years? I guess that's kind of a plug for my class coming up September 8th. The core message of A Course in Miracles, and we will have graduation on the second Monday. All who attend the class and start the class on the 8th graduate on the 15th. Okay. Anyone else want to share anything at all? Lynn says, Christ's vision sees oneness, wholeness, perfect vision, perfect happiness. Perfection is easy and simple when you don't think you have to figure it out. If you have to figure it out, you're right back in that same trap, the trap of thinking that you're doing this on your own. That's probably the biggest shift that I can imagine, is realizing that there's really nothing I'm really doing here. The doer is always the ego. The ego thinks it has to do this and do that and learn this and learn that. And no one is putting the ego down when I say that, but it's just that when we identify with doing this rather than being, and Jesus is very clear, being and having are one and the same. When I'm remembering in the stillness that I am being as God created me, I am still as God created. I am still, as Monica right here reminded us all a number of years ago, What if Jesus wasn't saying, I am still as God created, but maybe I am still? It's in the stillness that all that schmutz, all that dirt falls away. But while I'm chasing the dirt, just like that pendulum that Regina was speaking about here a couple of weeks ago, which I thought, great sharing from the Tao Te Ching, while I'm chasing and stalking the wild pendulum, which swings both ways, I'm not still. So it's really finding the equilibrium, the place where things are changeless, that I find the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The middle way. Thanks, Barb. The middle way. Okay, we're just about at that time. Does anyone has any thoughts, any questions, anything at all? We do have a wonderful schedule ahead, as always. I'm going to let Lynn tell us who what our schedule is and who's on tonight at 8 o'clock. It's always a wonderful Sunday. On Sunday is wonderful. Well, of course, every day is wonderful. What's the difference between one day and another? Nothing. It's all a present love. Okay, Lynn, I'm going to turn this mic over to you. Thank you all for being here. And I thank all who have shared here for your willingness to share and give your gift of sharing to all. Okay, this mic is all yours. Lynn Johnson, thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Dove Fishman. Thank you, everyone. And right now I'm going to, what am I doing? Right now I'm going to play a song while I save the recording from today so that Jay can post it. And I'm going to turn the mic over right now to Mitten, who today is his birthday, and Deva Pramal, through the eyes of an angel.